Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody, to the broadcast this week. We appreciate you dialing in from various parts of the country, as well as listening live on the Internet. I know many of you listen on the dialed-in, on a downloaded basis on your podcast. This is one broadcast that I predict is going to be one of the most listened-to broadcasts this year. If it's not, it should be, because we're going to be talking about a strategic initiative, a strategic direction that every mortgage banker, no matter what your size, should be considering and listening to. We have two special guests that are going to be on the broadcast later in the program. Their names are Austin Tillman, President and CEO of United Capital Markets, as well as David Stevens. This is the real David Stevens, not that imitation that works over there at the MBA. I'll be at the MBA's offices, so I just want to put that out there. I know we have some MBA listeners there, so I'll take some trouble for that. But you're going to want to stay tuned. Austin and David Stevens are recognized as servicing experts, loan servicing experts, some of the greatest minds, more critical thinking in the United States. We're thrilled to have them on the broadcast later, and you're not going to want to miss that for anything, because it's critical to a lot of the future of the industry and your company, quite frankly. Also, we want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. New Penn Financial is providing new products that are out of agency, just out of guidelines for nationals, jumbo programs, just out of agency guidelines that I am very excited about. I encourage you to go to our website, www.lickinonlending.com. And in the upper right-hand corner of that website, you will see their ad, and I encourage you to click on that link, go out and take a look at those programs. The programs could just make all the difference for you. They're starting to catch on, and many of our listeners are already taking advantage of the program. They have a correspondent and a broker program, so a wholesale program, so you can get in on both sides of it. Don't think you're too small. Go out there and talk to them. Let's get into an update about interest rates. First of all, we thank all of our sponsors. We thank everybody who's involved in the program and making this all possible. Joe Farr is with MBS Quote Line, one of our sponsors, and our regulars talking to us about what's going on today. Joe, good to have
you on
the program. Good to have you
here.
It's very a little quiet this morning. What's going on?
Well, you know, when I put my notes together, it was so, but since then it's improved a bit. So we're up 430 seconds, and any more improvement, we're going to see favorable price changes most likely.
Well, you know what I said, and I usually have you logged up and on here, but getting ready for this broadcast, I didn't get to have your website up here like I normally do. So it's improvement. It's amazing. Well, let's talk about last week. A lot of it was dominated by Friday's job report.
Yeah. By now most people have seen it was much better than expected. 243,000 jobs created when 135 was expected, and prior months were revised higher as well. The unemployment rate fell. So all that was perceived as inflationary. Well, good for the economy, good for stocks, but potentially inflationary, which was bad for mortgage rates. So during the week prior to the jobs report, the economic data had been fairly not as good as expected. Had several measures had fallen, and so the jobs report was a very positive announcement. And as a result, mortgage rates fell a bit. And one of the interesting things is every Thursday, Freddie Mac issues the results of their survey. Yeah, and the rate survey is conducted Monday and Tuesday of each week, and with the results announced on Thursday. So, and the Monday-to-Monday comparison in mortgage rates was that rates fell fairly dramatically, 10 or 12 basis points. So by Friday, we're reporting that mortgage rates were essentially unchanged and probably would have caused some confusion to a lot of listeners, given purely due to time, timing. You know, it's Monday to Monday versus Friday to Friday, and as we all know, mortgage rates can move around a lot, and they did that. So for those loan officers out there who have had to explain that to their customer, it might help them to know that it's a Monday to Monday survey and with results released on Thursday. So,
yeah, I think that's important. Like one of our clients said, you know what, we call it the Freddie Mac birdcage report, because by the time it comes out, it's already birdcage material.
All right.
So what do we, let's see. So that's kind of helps them on explanation, giving them an explanation about that. What about the jobs report? Again,
well,
that was really positive.
Very positive. The result is a concern from an investor perspective. Well, number one, they're shifting money out of the safer assets into the stock market, a little more riskier assets based on the hope of a growing economy. And then from directly affecting mortgage rates, it's inflationary to have growth in the economy. And we've got such low inflation environment now supporting these low rates, any uptick is going to be felt from an interest rate perspective.
Well, the consumer confidence also fell in as it did in Chicago.
As the ISM index was a little lower than expected, and the Chicago PMI was fell a little bit. So, you know, prior to Friday, it was somewhat of a weaker than expected economic environment. You know, this week though, Dave. There's really nothing to come out this week. There's a consumer sentiment coming out later in the week, but most of this week will be impacted, or the more significant potentially market moving events will be the Treasury auctions. There's a 3, a 10, and a 30 starting Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, there are Treasury auction announcements that can move the market. And then Greece is still out there. The current situation is that they have a pending deal, right? We've been hearing that, though, for a couple of weeks. There are some timelines where you back into the need to have an answer pretty much this week. And so we'll have to pay attention. I think its significance has fallen a good bit. But when it does come out, if it's a negotiated reduction in the rate of the debt, then it will be, you know, a little more favorable for the riskier assets. If it is not favorable, we might see an increased flight to safety, you know, if it's a hard default. So we will have to pay attention. But it's nice to see that we're not hinging on every little headline anymore, because every day has been different headlines. So that's it.
Well, you know, I might say that there is something significant that's going to come out, an indicator this week. You know what it is? Today's broadcast. We're talking about loan servicing later in the broadcast.
Right.
And while it may not be a market mover, it's certainly something that should move a lot of people to some action. So thanks, Joe. Appreciate you bringing that report today. We'll look forward to see what's going to come on and happen later in the week. Thanks so much. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. Each and every week, we are so fortunate to have Alice Alvey with us. Well, we're fortunate to have each and every one of our regulars with us, but we really get kind of wait with bated breath to hear from Alice Alvey as she begins to talk to us about what's going on in D.C., the legislative update, also known as the traffic report. What's doing moving down the legislative highway for us today, Alice?
Hi, Dave. Well, you know, the biggest news, I think, just of last week was President Obama talking about, you know, what is going to, what we can look forward to in legislation that might be coming through, you know, in the president's planned refinance boom is kind of the way it's looking right now. So I just wanted to give folks a quick highlight snapshot of that. You can certainly find all the details from the White House webpage. But, you know, right now it is going to have to run through legislation, and it's going to be, they're going to be working to allow FHA to provide an additional refinance program for the non-Fannie Freddie mortgages, which, as we all know, has been kind of a big gap. We've been able to do the DU Refi Plus and the relief mortgages, but this is a great opportunity for those other customers. The rules are just vaguely spelled out right now. We know the customer is going to have to be current on their loan for 6 months. And I think it's kind of comical that they put in here they must meet a minimum credit score of 580. Right, like any investor is going to touch that score with a 10-foot pole. right, so it'll be interesting to see what actually comes out between, you know, the legislation and then, of course, what the aggregators do with it. But certainly promising to be able to watch for some new programs. Some of the caveats I want to make sure everybody picks up on this.
By the way, Alice, wasn't 580 a subprime score a few years ago?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
No inference here. What we got going on, but it's certainly a political season, which goes to the silly season we're in. But anyway, go on. I'm sorry.
No, that's FHA's published minimum score. But again, you have to get somebody to buy it, which I guess kind of plays into our next subject, right? If I retain my servicing, can I set my own underwriting criteria as long as I can handle it? We'll save that for the next segment. But the additional steps I think are important. Probably one of the biggest things that came out was the fact that, when has the word compare ratio ever come out of a president's mouth? You know, I think it's interesting that FHA streamlines will no longer be included in the compare ratio. And this is huge for so many companies who really found statistically that was dragging down their default rates. And for those of you who don't remember what compare ratio is, it's your company's default rate in relationship to the national default rate. Now, FHA is going to be making some changes to that aspect as going forward as far as how you are compared. But for right now, it is good news to know that overall you'll be able to take advantage of some of the streamlines that that are going to be rolling out through this congressional program, through this FHA program, and then also not have to necessarily work about the direct impact to your compare ratio. I don't think they're going to completely ignore it. The number is still going to be out there, but it'll make some lenders a little more open to it. And I think, interestingly enough, is the idea of just some plans to streamline underwriting for not only RD, but for some GSE loans. Really looking at trying to find some solutions to not have to get an appraisal. So we'll see how that all pans out in the legislation, and we'll be watching that for you. So they are looking at potentially under the administration's proposal that the GSE would be directed to use mark-to-market accounting or other alternatives to manual appraisals for any loan for which the LTV cannot be determined with the GSE's automated valuation model. So that raises a lot of questions with it, and all of the answers are still to be seen. Once we get the legislation, we'll make sure you all get the scoop. Finally, I want to make sure you're aware of a couple of things. We are watching House Bill 3630, which is the Temporary Payroll Tax Cut Continuation Act of 2011. It has passed both the House and the Senate. If you watch the news, you can hear they're still wrangling over the final details. Our current 2-month extension that we got is going through February 29th. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we get a final determination on where that's going to go, and hopefully they don't slide in a mortgage fee. You know, it's going to pay for everything, right? Now we have to watch unsuspecting places for mortgage fees to be thrown in. So there's over 200 bills that we're watching right now, but that's probably the main one. A new bill that came out, House Bill 3853, introduced at the end of January to provide for a semi-annual actuarial study of the FHA mortgage insurance program. You know, right now that's annual, but since the fund's in a bit of trouble, looks like Congress again is trying to put something on the table to get another report. And last but not least, FHA did publish a final rule that basically expands the prohibited basis definition to include lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals. So effective March 5th, make sure you have all of your fair lending and equal credit opportunity policies updated to include that additional group of individuals to make sure all your lending policies are fair. So that'll be effective March 5th. And that is my trash report for today, Dave. I made it through the whole thing without coughing and sneezing.
Well, you know what? The sign of a true professional is someone who shows up on the radio regardless of how they feel. You are such a super trooper at many levels. We appreciate you being here, giving us the weekly update, Alice, even though you're not at the best of health. Hope you recover. Get feeling better by the next week's broadcast. Good to have you with us. Thank you so much. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief
Looking
break.
For a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. MortgageU has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call MortgageU today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lincoln.
Welcome back. It's good to have you with us again this week. Appreciate it. We see as I'm looking at the number of people dialing in all from all over the country. We got a list of you up here. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being a part of it. You know, one of the things I do is I get to go out and travel around the country. I was in Phoenix last week with a really good company and met with several other great companies while out there. Really good to do that. Special thank you goes out to Homeowners Financial and their friends. They even sent me to the Phoenix Open for a day. Had a blast being in their suite and being a part of that. But thank you to all our listeners out there in the Phoenix area. But one of the things I hear as I travel around and get to talk to a number of the companies is a number of them are running into some cash flow issues, Profit Doctor. Even some of them are saying, we're not getting our loans bought quite as quickly as we'd like. As a result of it, we're struggling a little bit on the cash flow front. Profit Doctor, what would you say to those folks?
Well, Dave, that's a current issue. It's not something that's really that new. We deal with this all the time, but it's something that we've really got to focus on now because, as you know, we've actually heard people say that not only are they having cash flow problems, they missed payroll. Can you imagine what that's going to do to your production team if they go to their meetings and say, my company couldn't even make their payroll? I mean, that is a death sentence if I've ever heard of one. So
especially when you have your production crew, as a result of it, go, nah, I'm a little insecure. I'm going to go out and interview. And what's the thing there? Well, why are you considering interviewing with us? Well, my company's struggling a little with cash flow. Don't you know that's just something you don't want out in the marketplace? So
exactly.
Great point.
And this is a very predictable event because what ends up happening is obviously, on occasion, investors slow down in purchasing. We know this is a condition that occurs in mortgage banking sometime. So what you do is you go into your cash flow model and you slow the purchase rate from the investors a little bit down and you look at how much your cash flow is affected by that, and then you'll know how much you need to push your rates up to slow production down so you deal with that situation, or you can anticipate it happening 30 days from now and you can come up with some alternative funding sources. You should never be surprised by this. Investors slow down. It happens. It's something – we talk about fat tails in our discussions sometimes, which are statistical anomalies. An investor slowing down the purchase process is not a fat tail. This happens. It happens occasionally, and we have to be able to model it. So the point of this is you got to have a cash flow model. You got to have a financial forecast that embeds a cash flow model where you can slow down the investor purchase pace. And when you do that, you can see what effect a slower investor purchase market is going to have on your cash flows and what it's going to do to your payroll. And if it's going to get into the red zone, we call it, then you slow down the slow down the production, or you come up with other cash.
Well, the most important part,
you don't get surprised.
Yeah. The most important point out of this whole thing is, you know what, even if you're not having that, you ought to model what happens if that happens or other significant cash flow events and have a plan to do it. So, again, these things that come out of the blue and go, OMG, like, oh, my gosh, I'm really – sounds like I have daughters, teenage daughters. Other than when I say OMG, I do. Anyway, the reality is there are those, oh, my gosh, moments, and you go – you can deal with them, and you can predict them, and you can look at them and have a plan. So the big the prophet doctor is making here is what? Model.
Model your cash flows. Have a financial forecast that looks forward at least a year. Have a really accurate financial forecast that also includes a cash flow forecast, and have your cash flow going forward at least 3 months. Look at the effect that it's going to have on your cash flow position, and then never worry about missing a payroll again, because you can anticipate what's going to happen, and you can come up with a cash reserve strategy to cover that. And worst case, you can slow your production down a little bit, because what's worse, having a little bit less volume or missing a payroll and losing all your branches?
You know what? We call you the profit doctor. And what does a good doctor do? They work on preventive medicine, not always reactive medicine. And how many times do you get called in because they're having these issues when you could have predicted? Auntie, that's a great report today. Appreciate that. Good work out to those of you struggling.
Think about this, too, real quick. You know what? If you've got to go to the emergency room, you know how much that's going to cost? If you can go to your regular doctor and get a treatment for it, it's about the tenth the cost of the emergency room. You know, the emergency room calls are very, very expensive. Don't go there. Just plan ahead.
Do you think there's an Obamacare? Obamacare covers these kind of issues at all? I just had to throw that in. We're in a political
design. this is a national broadcast, Dave. I don't think I'm going to go there at this moment.
We're not going to go there. I'm heading to Washington, D.C. this week. You know what's on my mind. Thank you so much, Mr. Schell, Prophet Doctor,
of course,
also known as Annie. It's good to have you on the broadcast. We got to get into this more next week and talk more about that. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief
Mortgage
break.
Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back, everybody. We got Tony Garitano on the line, and he's always talking to us about technology. And, God, we appreciate it so much, Tony, that you sit here and spend the time giving us update. We're hearing a lot about business intelligence technology out there. What does that really mean? Is it really an intelligence system? Some of them seem pretty dumb to me, but...
I agree, Dave. I think that a lot of the technology in our space is old and legacy-based, and business intelligence in particular can be a good complement. So what I thought I would do, to your point, is kind of define it first. Business intelligence mainly refers to computer-based techniques used in identifying, extracting, and analyzing business data such as sales revenue by products and or departments or by associated costs and incomes. BI technologies, they provide things like historical, current, and predictive views of your business operation, which goes back to some of the things that Andy said in the last segment that lenders should really be paying attention to.
Yeah, I mean, even a spreadsheet can have some business intelligence to it, to the financial model that he was talking about. And then one of the favorite words that, you know, the profit doctor always has in his vocabulary is ROI. What is the real ROI or tangible benefits to lenders that they should really have as a proper expectation when they adopt business intelligence technology?
Well, business intelligence really allows you to do better reporting, online analytical processing, analytics overall, data mining, process mining, event processing, business performance management, benchmarking, text mining, and predictive analytics. So it's supposed to really make you a better decision maker in general. what does that mean from an ROI perspective? For example, when you're talking about making payroll and modeling your payroll anticipation and your as opposed to your expected capital that you're going to be getting in, if you don't know that data, you can't project forward. Business intelligence can give you a top-heavy visual kind of experience so that you know what your revenue has been for the past 3 months so that you can actually plan ahead, as Andy said, and be able to project your revenue for the next 3 months as opposed to your payroll expenses. You know, also
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say also on the show, you guys talk a lot about QM and QRM and what that all means.
Right.
Well,
right.
Once we find out what that means, Dave, you can actually plug in KPIs into the business intelligence tool that will be able to inform you proactively whether this loan is a QM or a QRM. And that goes across the board, even when you're talking about things like LO compensation.
You know what, Tony, it's valuable information. And I'd also tell our listeners to go out and listen to the broadcast that we did New Year's Eve day or the day after the January 2nd broadcast we did with you, and we made the whole program just talking about technology. There's some wonderful tools. We had some outstanding guests. Many people that know Tony and are close to Progress and Lending were on that broadcast. Folks, if you haven't gone back, go back and listen to that broadcast. Great information there. Some great people, and you'll enjoy the broadcast. Tony, thank you so much for being a part of the conversation, reminding us about business intelligence today. Also, for those of you that are listening, go over to Tony's website. It's www.progressinlending.com. Read some articles. I'm writing an article for you right now. That's where I'm going to be publishing the Future of the Mortgage Industry article here pretty soon. So, Tony, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast each and every week, and we really do appreciate it. Have a great one.
Thanks, Dave.
You bet. We'll be right back after this brief word with our special guests, Austin Tillman and David Stevens with United Capital Markets. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever. And Wechsel-Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wechsel-Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wechsel-Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wechsel-Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wechsel-Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wechsel-Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Welcome back. Good to have you with us. By the way, as we played that ad, I know some of you are thinking, I'd like to advertise on this program. Guess what? We have room, and we will make room for you. Contact me. Give me a call on that. I look forward to it. You can go over to our website, LincolnOnLending.com, and you can get the information. Contact me. I look forward to visiting with you. Or send me an email, dlincoln@mbs-team.com. Talk to you about advertising. Appreciate it so much. We have two special guests that I'm really excited to have on the broadcast. I've heard about them reputationally and their company for years. And just recently, as a result of my two business partners, I've really got a chance to really get to know these two. And folks, I am really excited about this broadcast, not only because we got two unquestionable industry experts on the topic of servicing, but we have two really critical thinkers that forward and care about our industry and want to help companies succeed with strategies that are going to work for you, not just in the short term, not just the here and now I got to make payroll, but really building value for each of the companies. So for you that are looking at or business owners or have and thought, I wonder if I should ever service, I'm telling you, there was a big announcement that happened with FHFA on February 1st, significant about the fees. If FHFA had not ruled the way they did, this whole broadcast might have been just unnecessary. But as a result of the announcement, we do have an exciting broadcast to talk about and, quite frankly, an excited future for independent mortgage bankers. So let me introduce Austin Tillman, who is the Chief Executive Officer for United Capital Markets, Inc., UMC Inc., in Denver, Colorado. Their company advises mortgage companies on strategic planning and is an active hedge, or well, specifically Austin is active hedge manager for servicing rights. Austin has spent more than 20 years on Wall Street in the MBS and hedging structure with companies such as UBS, JP Morgan, before starting UMC in 1996. Our other guest, David Stevens, and as we said earlier, the real David Stevens there in Denver, having fun with our good friend David Stevens at the MBA. This David Stevens spells his name with a PH, which spells properly, and is based in also in Denver, 24 years of mortgage banking experience. He is one of the first senior operations and accounting investor reporting experts in the country, later a consultant to the mortgage industry, focusing on strategic planning, risk management. He is now the chief operating officer and the CFO, chief financial officer. He's got that secret handshake with Andy and Joe with their CPA degrees, so he understands that, and also focuses on hedging. A lot of introduction, but I just want to let you know it is really a joy to have both of you on the broadcast. I want to make sure that we are both have you live. Are you there? Austin,
David. Good morning.
Good to have you.
This is Dave. All right.
Well, there's Dave. Okay, we got you both now. We got to make sure we have both your mics turned down. Let's get into this. Why is servicing and servicing pricing such an important topic today? Lead us into that with an overview discussion.
Sure. Well, thanks for having us on this broadcast. You know, servicing values really drive the profit margin for most mortgage companies. And that's true whether they decide to sell whole loans to an aggregator, which is, you know, for most independent mortgage companies the strategy today, or whether they decide to invest and keep their servicing. Frankly, servicing values are an integral part of the ecosystem of pricing, first of all to the consumer, and then to the net returns of the mortgage banking business.
Austin, this is Joe Farr. I've talked to a lot of companies that have never retained servicing. They've always been selling whole loan service released or in some way selling the servicing at the same time they sell their loans. But more and more are beginning to talk about switching over to keeping servicing. Are you hearing the same, and is it throughout the country?
Absolutely. You know, it started really, Joe, about 3 years ago and really has picked up or increased recently. And some of the examples, you know, are companies in Texas, whether they be you know, SWBC in San Antonio or USAA or J.W. Bradley in Denver, Envoy. I mean, the list goes on, and we continue to have a variety of conversations with production-only companies that really want to get in the servicing business.
Well, hi, David and Austin. This is Alice Alley. Welcome to the program. We're so excited to have you here. I really want to know, what do you think are some of the motivating factors behind this change?
Thank you, Alice. There are a number of factors, but the big one is really the servicing release premium. Prior to the meltdown, the price paid in the SRP when you sold a loan release was considered fair, generally five times or more as a multiple of the service fee. That multiple dropped to less than four times a couple of years ago, and now we're hearing it's approaching zero in some cases. maintaining the customer relationship is also important to a lot of people. It is to banks, but we have originators that originate for like credit unions, and they want to maintain that relationship. Cited less often, but probably the most important factor is building a business value or a business hedge for the time when mortgage rates rise from these historic levels and lows and refinance volumes approach zero.
Well, Dave, that's really interesting information. This is Andy. It's great to have you guys on the program today. And, you know, Dave, I called you last week. We did an analysis of MSR versus SRP for a client. And the numbers were coming in unbelievably. I couldn't believe the SRP values were so low. So I called Dave, and he goes, yeah, In some cases, they're approaching zero. So why would you give up something that you can either get zero for it or you can get a point for it by holding it? I just don't understand why that isn't. I mean, that's so compelling to me. Why isn't everybody holding servicing now?
Probably the biggest reason, Andy, is it takes cash. It takes cash to invest in servicing rights. So companies really have to forego current income to invest in future returns. You know, we see a tremendous upside in owning servicing rights and actually substantial tax benefits, but it does take cash. Another major impediment has been uncertainty. We certainly saw it out of Washington. But business owners continue to read the papers about robo-signing and repurchase requests and national servicing standards. Legislation that's going through Congress. We know the industry's been particularly concerned about the FHFA and the proposal to change servicing compensation to a fee for service. We've been leading the education on what that actually means, but the proposed fee that they announced wouldn't even cover the cost of servicing. We are hearing recently, as Dave Licken said, that they've backed away from that really radical proposal, but that also has been a major impediment.
Well, I want to get into, you know, those that are thinking, you know, they want to put you know, that are sitting on the fence. You know, what is the, can you get in and then get out later if the new regulations or something else makes servicing not palatable?
Well, that's a good question, Dave. The big answer is it's a long-term commitment. Even if you use a third-party subservicer, the cash flow is 30 years. The market for buying and selling servicing is thin right now, so it's hard to get in and out.
Well, then with all the uncertainty, why are some still taking the risk to get in the business?
Well, I think it's really the value difference between the current servicing release premium, which has, you know, as Dave mentioned, has gone from a 5 or 6 multiple down to 2 or 3. And frankly, you know, retaining servicing has become much, much more palatable and profitable than selling servicing release to the big aggregators.
Well, with rates at 3.5 or 4 and quality never being better, why is it that servicing values are close to zero in some cases?
Great question.
It's the aggregation of the aggregators. In 2007, an originator might have 20 takeouts for the loans they produced. After the spectacular failures of 2008 and the combination of large companies into large companies making even larger ones, there might have been 10 takeouts. And here recently we've seen B of A and Citi getting out of the market, and you can count on one hand the number of people that account for 50% of the market. So they have their own capacity limitations. So it's just become tougher and tougher to find a takeout, and then those that are left are being much more selective on what they buy.
Yeah. So there are obviously a lot of people out there that have seen this, seen that they're getting paid very little for their servicing. And so they're now deciding that they're going to keep it. They're not going to give it away for nothing. So they're going to keep it. Now, what should they begin to do? What are some of the first steps to getting started in this?
Well, the first hurdle is to get approval as a seller servicer from the GSEs. So, you know, there are minimum net worth requirements, and those have been ratcheted up recently, as well as knowledge and operational requirements. They'll also need to contract with a subservicer to handle the day-to-day servicing, which will also, frankly, fulfill part of the operational GSE's requirements.
You know,
I'd like to add a little bit to that.
Go ahead.
I just was speaking to someone this morning that's been a servicer now for a year and a half. But they've been working on getting their Ginnie Mae approval for a year and a half and expect to get it within the next month or two. And that's a common thing we're hearing is the amount of time required to get your approvals is very long.
Yeah, you know, so it's not easy. It seems like it's easy to just jump in and get a subservicer, but getting the approvals is not going that smoothly, it sounds like.
That's right. It's hard to explain. I guess it's the capacities of them, all the GSEs, to go through their approval processes. I would have thought that with the increased net worth requirements and their past looking at experience, that it wouldn't be so hard, but they're having troubles.
Well, guys, one of the things people talk about often when they look at the SRP versus the MSR is the way that the two cash flows are you know, the MSR isn't really cash, and the SRP is money you can spend, and there's some tax issues that come along with that that people call the tax wedge. Why don't you explain for us a little bit more about what this tax wedge is?
Well, if you receive an SRP or a servicing release premium as part of selling the mortgage, the cash is taxable up front. So, for example, if you receive $1,000, you'll have to pay $350 in taxes. On the other hand, MSRs, if they're valued at $1,000 for book, they have no tax basis, and so the tax is deferred. You do pay it as the cash comes in, but it's a major, major difference with respect to cash.
Exactly. So basically the MSR is on a cash basis, and the SRP is on a – well, they're both cash basis, but you get the cash up front on the SRP. So that's been one of the issues mortgage bankers have faced for a long time is this cash flow planning as it relates to servicing, which we were just talking about earlier, about meeting payroll just because investors are slow to purchase. How do you address the cash flow issues associated with retaining servicing?
You know, candidly, for independent mortgage companies, most of the time our recommendation is to sell some servicing, continue that cash flow, which is important, and that's probably done, that calculation's done on a month-to-month basis. But to keep some of the servicing, you know, we look at this business as two long-cycle businesses, the production cycle, which has its own risk, and also then the servicing cycle. They're complementary, but they don't hedge each other.
So about how long then does it take to make that transition?
Well, it depends on your production capacity. For some people, it might be as short as a year because they have a lot of their equity in cash, and so they're not having to retain part or sell part of their production to fund servicing. But for the people that are retaining maybe a third and selling two-thirds, you're probably talking about 3 years before you get to the level where the cash flow off the servicing is actually funding your production operation.
Well, so it sounds like there's some value, you know, you're retaining value, whether it be in cash or future cash. What other things should people think about as they're considering getting into a servicing retained operation?
Joe, there are a variety of things, and that's probably a much longer conversation, but first of all, the discount rate, the yield, if you will, that MSR currently has is at an all-time high. It's around 10%, and that's pre-tax yield, if you will. Also, the prepayment models haven't fully factored in falling housing values, and certainly there are tougher underwriting standards. So the models tend to be conservative and overestimate the prepayment likelihood. And finally, the servicing, as we've talked about earlier, these are historically low interest rates with tremendous underwriting standards. So we look at this on a going-forward basis as some of the best servicing that one could own.
Yeah, can you imagine what this would have gone for in 2003?
That's so true.
Well, all right, so... if cash flow, if you're able to manage cash flow, and that's not an issue, then tell me what, as a servicing investor, you know, a new servicing investor, what would be the next focus? What would keep you up at night?
The two big worries are operational risk and prepayment risk. Lots of the operational risk is resolved by using a carefully selected subservicer with lots of experience and appropriate capital. You'll need to worry about the quality of your mortgages still, though. Keeping servicing generic and carefully underwritten is a popular way to minimize operational risk.
It sounds so basic, but a lot of people do forget that connection between underwriting and servicing. We talk about that a lot, you know, in the idea of making sure it's the right risk for your entity, not just what you've seen others willing to take or what you think now I can take because no one's looking over my shoulder.
Well, you still have the GSEs looking over your shoulder, and who knows what the CFPB is going to be doing. So I think when you get into the servicing business, you need to count on a whole new set of eyes watching you.
Exactly. What about the prepayment risk then associated with this that they have to watch?
Well, the current accounting rules require that servicing rights be booked initially at fair value. That's under FAS 156. But when you do that, you're one basis point away from impairment. So complicating that, the asset is very volatile. It responds immediately to changes in prepayments and changes in interest rates. And although this hasn't happened in a while, we saw rates drop by 25 to 50 basis points while you're at lunch. And the only problem you have is that the loans you haven't sold forward yet, but that your MSRs can lose, you know, significant portions of their value.
That sounds pretty unmanageable. So what should the business owner do?
Well, we'll start our advertisement right here.
All right,
that's what we do.
I'll go for it.
Right. Here you go.
We've been successfully hedging MSRs for the mortgage business owner since 1997.
Now, everybody knows that there's no free lunch, especially around transactions as complicated as hedging. So how much is this going to cost me to do this?
Well, actually, the benefit of owning mortgage servicing rights, the hedges that we put on actually generate income normally, and that offset the MSR changes in value. The simple premise is that we hedge an asset with an earning asset. So we've got MSRs that are around 10%, and our hedges also are portfolio hedges, they earn income also. So two earning assets that respond inversely to interest rate changes, that's what we do. It's a classic hedge, but we usually need to actually spend an hour just to show somebody how it works.
Yeah, I've actually had the opportunity to have you explain that to me before, Austin, and about halfway through, my eyeballs rolled back in my head. It gets a little bit complicated, but you guys do a great job in explaining it. So besides that option, what other options are there?
Despite the accounting rules to the contrary, some book the asset at a very low value and greatly reduce their chances of impairment by doing so. The large guys can't do this because their accountants won't allow it. My concern for the people that can do it is that they may have a false sense of well-being and not protect their entire future cash flows because they don't see the change in the MSR asset as it swings up and down in value.
Well, what
along
about
those lines,
go ahead, Joe.
I wanted to ask right there, you determine fair value based on willing buyers and willing sellers. It seems like the willing buyer right now, on the correspondent side anyway, is paying very little for it. Why couldn't they book it at that?
We see a lot of people benchmarking their MSRs by selling a piece occasionally. So from quarter to quarter, they're booking based on model, which is marked to model. But to test that, they will sell a piece occasionally. And we see the values holding up And those are values that are closer to what the big guys are booking than the people that are booking it at an SRP value.
What about the production, the quote-unquote production offset hedge, where they use their production to offset losses in the MSR?
You know, the colloquial or sort of industry myth is that, you know, why don't I just outproduce my way and that'll hedge my balance sheet.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, there are a whole series of companies that are no longer in the business or are challenged right now based on, you know, the view, well, we don't need to hedge our balance sheet. You know, it's always amazed me that no one would ever consider not hedging their production.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't go a day without hedging your production. And, you know, and yet the balance sheet, the servicing rights, which is where all the cash is and all the return, you know, goes unhedged. So we have that conversation regularly, but we've just never seen the production hedge work.
Well, there's so many places we want to go, and listeners, I'm so excited that we're going to have both these gentlemen back at the end of the month on the 27th of February. And so, all right, guys, you are bookends, and we have Dave and Austin as bookends on this important topic. We're focusing the whole month on the topic of loan servicing, and there's so much we're going to be able to go into in much more in depth, and we're thrilled to have you both with us. I'm sure you've already, Austin, David, it piques some interest. People are going to want to talk to you. They're going, okay, I'm going to start the discussion. At least I'm going to get started on this. How can they get a hold of you? What's the best phone number, and do you have a website they can go to?
Sure. The website is www.ucm-inc.com. And the main number here is 303-268-8402.
Let's repeat that one more. 303-268-8402.
That's correct.
All right, good. Folks, I mean, you're going to start the dialogue. If you want to stay ignorant and just stay out in the dark and not approach this, you know what? We deal with this when we're consulting with people and companies all across the country. I'm amazed at how people are willfully ignorant. Don't be that. Get these guys on the phone. And if you have the big question like I did, I've been involved in ownership, president of two mortgage banking companies, partner in another. I know the temptation is I don't even know an intelligent question to ask to get started. If you're like that, which is where I've been at in the servicing issues for years, get over it. Get up, get on that phone, call these guys, and help them work it through it. These guys are here to teach you. One of the things that was so much fun about the pre-call is as we start talking about, you know, what we're all about, what the two companies are, we take time to really get to know the people we bring on this broadcast. We want to have industry leaders, not only just industry leaders with the right motive. These two individuals and their company is like our firm and Alice's company and Joel's firm. We really care about this industry. We care about you and your company. We care about your strategic direction. Yes, you're the business owner. You need to make the decision. But if you're making that decision not equipped with the proper facts, the proper information, you're making decisions and missing out opportunities, quite frankly, folks, you don't want to miss out on. Loan servicing is just that topic and is the reason we are focusing on it this whole month. I got a quick question, David and Austin, I want to come back to. Subservicers, a lot of people go, who should I choose? I'm not wanting to go into naming companies per se, but maybe we can get into that down the road. There are a couple big ones, Cenlar and Dovamil are probably the two big ones out there, but there are other companies out there, and we refer to both of them, by the way. I mean, so that we consider to have good relationship with both Cenlar and Dovamil, and we know there's risk, but I think you hit on something I really want to talk about when we go to this at the end of the month. Subservicing, you subservice it out, you don't abdicate your responsibility. I want to make sure every listener heard what these two gentlemen said. You've got to manage it. You want to add to that, David and Austin?
Yes. You need to understand the business and understand what's going on. For some business, I think that's going to mean a new hire, even though you may have Dovamil, who we think is one of the best, or Cenlar, and there's GMAC, and there's several others. You need to know the questions to ask. And if you've never been on the servicing side, it's understandable that you won't know what questions to ask. That's something that needs a lot of careful consideration. All the business that we've seen, or the businesses that we've seen in the last 3 years that have moved from production only to production and servicing, have somebody in-house who at least part of their responsibility is riding herd on the subservicer.
Well, we're excited to get into this more next month. Austin and David, thank you so much for being here and also agreeing to be here again on the 27th of this month, February, 4 weeks out, talking more about this and putting it on. You guys are both going to be at the servicing conference, and you'll be fresh back off of that conference the MBA's National Servicing Conference. And we would just be thrilled, and we're really excited to have you back and really kind of tie up all the loose ends for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for being here today. We wish you both safe travels and look forward to talking to you again at the end of the month. Folks, get a hold of each one of these gentlemen by calling 303-268-8402 or go to their website, umc-inc.com. Got it right? Do I have that right, David?
Exactly. No, it's UCM.
UC. Well, yep. You know what? My dyslexic mouth here. I'm glad we corrected that. I should just let you give it. Thank you so much for being with us. You guys have a great week, and we'll look forward to talking to you again at the end of the month.
Thanks so much, Dave, for this opportunity.
It's a great opportunity to have you here. Folks, we just really appreciate, you know, the caliber of guests that we have on. Joe, Alice, and Andy, as we look forward to this whole discussion, I want to tell our listeners that we're going to have on the broadcast next week some actual examples, some actual companies that have gone through this process and can speak fresh to the struggles, their fears, what they've benefited from it, what they had to overcome in their company. So we're going to have several companies on who can actually give us insights into that journey. I think it's going to be very valuable to all of us, and we really appreciate that. And we're looking to our friends there, Glenn Corso, to bring this group together, and we're looking very much forward to it. By the way, Glenn and Pete Mills there are very good friends with Austin and David Stevens as well. So we appreciate them for the broadcast next week. We want you to tune in. Joe, Alice, and Andy, any thoughts as we look back on this broadcast today, and any parting thoughts that you want to share with us before we go to the window or go to the door?
Which one first?
No, let's go with – okay, Andy, let's go with you.
Well, yeah, I have a thought. You know, one of the things we're talking about is the cash flow effect, and that people always assume that they can't afford to get in the service, and because of the effect they're going to have by not collecting the SRP up front. And what I want people to understand, when you do the analysis, the SRP that you're getting is not the 2 points on the rate sheet or the 1.5 points on the rate sheet. That's not really what it is. That's just a discounted premium. Really, the SRP, in some cases, is only 20 or 30 basis points. It's not that big of a cash flow give up to move into servicing, because you're really not getting that much for the SRP anyway today.
That's so true. Joe?
I'd say I heard a great presentation at the TMBA Southern Secondary a couple of weeks ago about what you need to do to prepare for this, and that included things like how you accept locks from your LOs and the ability to issue securities. There's a lot of things up front that have to do with preparing yourself to be able to keep servicing and to dispose of your loans in an efficient way at the same time. So hopefully those who have gone through it before will bring some of that insight to us next week.
Well, Alice has actually been a servicing manager, actually managed servicing. Alice, do you think this is an important topic for us this month, and what are your thoughts?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I'm going to dovetail off of what Joe said and the idea of preparation, and I'm very interested to hear the discussion from the other lenders, because it really is that transition of staffing. And, you know, servicing staff's at a premium. I mean, you know, it's hard to find staffing, and so you don't want that to be a discouragement. But I find it very interesting, the idea of building your own staff, not just from the servicing you're doing by accident, right? How many companies just have a servicing portfolio by accident? They go, well, I can build that. So I'm very interested to hear the ideas on expanding that.
Well, everyone could use some training on this. Alice, if you get a hold of Alice Alvey, again, go to our website, Lickin' on Lending, www.lickinonlending.com, and get all the information about that. We appreciate you being with us each and every week. A special thank you goes out to all of our sponsors. and our newest sponsor, New Penn Financial. Again, check them out. They got those out-of-agency product. Great stuff. We'll talk to you next week, folks. Have a great week. I'm off to Washington, D.C., and hope to see some of you out there then. Have a blessed week, everybody. Thank you so much.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.